Let's ask God to help us then as we turn to his word. Lord our God, we thank you that we are able to meet you at the end of this lovely day, that we can come as a company of your people to worship you, and we ask your blessing as we do so. Lord, we've heard so many sermons over so many years. Lord, we do pray that we might hear and remember your word from this evening, and that, Lord our God, it would do us good, and that, Lord our God, we would give you all the praise and all the glory. Amen. So we've been thinking about grace now for a number of Sunday nights. And what I want us to do this evening is think about how we experience grace. How does a Christian receive the grace of God? So let's make a few reminders. We've talked about multicolored grace. We've said that there are multicolored trials, and that the grace of God matches perfectly the trial that we are in. So let's imagine then, let's choose a color. Let's imagine you're experiencing a trial that you could describe as grey in colour. It's not the worst trial you've ever experienced, but it's pretty unpleasant. Now, the grace of God is sufficient. It will match perfectly the trial that you're experiencing. So how do you experience that grace? Does God give it to you automatically, so you do nothing, and then the grace of God comes down in some mysterious way into your soul to help you? Or does the grace of God, is it experienced some other way? So let's imagine then that we've talked about persevering grace. And you and I as Christians, we're feeling rather weary. We are feeling rather discouraged. Perhaps we feel that the going is tough. It's hard to continue going in faith. The persevering grace of God, how do you and I experience it? Again, is it given to us without asking? Is it given to us in some mysterious and uncalled for way? How do we experience the grace of God? Now, I hope that question is clear, because you and I think we've enjoyed studying God's grace together. But it's really important that we are clear about how to receive that grace. So whether we're in a trial or we're seeking to persevere, how do we experience it? Well, to answer that question, let's look at verse 8 to 10 of Ephesians and chapter 2. And I'll read the verses again. So Ephesians 2, 8 to 10. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Now let's, first of all, just work our way through these verses. Look at verse 8. First of all, for by grace you have been saved. And the first thing to say is everything from God is grace. Salvation is a matter of grace. Perseverance is a matter of grace. Everything that we have, whether that's as individual Christians or as a church, everything is the result of the grace of God. So grace covers everything. So in verse 8, then Paul is particularly talking about saving grace. Look at what he's done in the verses. He's reminded the Christians that they were once dead in their sins. They were once enemies of God. They were just like everyone else. They were no different as human beings to the others who lived in Ephesus. So just like everyone else. And then God, in grace, took hold of them, made them alive, placed them in Christ, and they are sat in the heavenly places. So it's all of grace. And then come to the second part of verse 8. And here's the answer to our question. How do we experience grace? And the answer is, can you see it there? Through faith. Grace is received through faith, or by means of faith. If you like, grace comes in and through faith. And that's the answer. So, how do I have grace in trials? It's through faith. How do I have persevering grace? It's through faith. And exactly the same then, how is someone saved? It is through faith, by grace. Now that's the answer. And I want you to look then at what Paul does in verses 8 to 9. He then gives a very important definition of faith. And I know we've considered this before, but I'm convinced that we don't really understand what Paul is writing here. So verse 8 then, he describes faith. It's not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. It is not of works, lest anyone should boast. There's two negatives there. It's not of yourselves, and it's not of works. It is the gift of God. There's one positive. Now, over the last 2 weeks, I've tried to sum up the sermons in a sentence so that we can remember the sentence, even if we can't remember the sermon. So here's the sentence then. You will experience the grace of God through faith, but you must understand what faith is. And that's what we're about to do. We are about to become clear on faith. So let's think of it like this. How many times have you had a conversation with somebody who's a Christian? And what you want to do is you want to tell them about your experience. So you start to open up about how tough it is for you, or what's happening to you in work. Or perhaps you're having a conversation with somebody and you're sharing the trials, the testings that you're going through. Now, you've all had this conversation. You start to open up and the other person says to you, "Where is your faith?" Now, that's happened to me. I would even say that some members of this congregation have said that to me over the years. Where is your faith? While you seek to share your experience. How many of you have been talking about the church, our congregation? And as you talk about the congregation and the challenges that we face and the difficulties that we are experiencing, you're sharing it and somebody will say to you, "Where's your faith?" Now, that happens often, doesn't it? During the singing of the first hymn, I lost track of where we were, because singing the second verse, this terrible thought came into my head. And here's the thought. If we continue the way that we are going, look at us tonight, I'll be out of a job. I'm quite young, 54. And what if I don't have a job in the future? What will I do? Now, that's the thought that came into my mind singing that first hymn. And it may be that you'll say to me, Neil, where's your faith? Where's your faith that God is going to do something among us? That God is going to do a great work among us? Now, if you've ever said it, or had it said to you, you should be very interested in what Paul is telling us here. He's telling us what faith is not. And I want to start with the first of the nots. Look at verse 8. Ephesians 2, verse 8. That not of yourselves. Faith is not of ourselves. Faith is not something that I can create. Faith is not something that I can whip up. Faith is not something that I can generate whenever I need it. Faith is not of myself. Paul writes, and we'll see it in a bit, it's the gift of God. But I know what some of you do. When you read your Bibles, you think it's all in the past. So, in the past, God gave me faith as a gift when I became a Christian. And of course, that's right. But it continues to be the gift of God. Faith is always the gift of God. Faith is ever and only the gift of God. So I don't have to try and generate faith, work myself up into a frenzy, strain my soul, and try and create a moment of trust when everything's going wrong. That's not what faith is. And that's not how you receive grace. So to make it real then, think of a time when you were under pressure. And you were trying to have faith in that moment. You were trying to get some sense of trusting and looking and hoping. And there you were, trying to become this person who was exercising faith. What was it like for you when you were doing it? Did it last? Did it work? Now, you see, we need to be honest with ourselves. When we're under pressure, when we're being tested, when we're looking at the situation, when we're seeing the difficulties, when we're having scary thoughts, it is not good enough to say to myself, come on, I need faith. And it's certainly not good enough to say it to each other. Faith is not of ourselves. That's the first thing. And then look at the second not in verse 9. Faith is not of works. Now there's a great danger here. Faith does not flow from what we achieve, from what I might accomplish in the Christian life. So faith is not the result of me doing something. Because if it were the result of me doing something, then I put myself in the category of being different from some other Christian, of being better than some other Christian. I'm in the category now of being able to boast about my experience. Look at me. I've done A, B, and C, and I've got great faith, and here I am in this condition. It's not of yourselves. You don't whip it up. You don't try and squeeze it out. You don't sort of try and create it in a moment. And neither is faith something that flows from what you're doing. Now, it's really important that we understand it. Because when you're next being tested, or when you're next looking at the church, and we'll do it in prayer meeting tomorrow, we look at the church and we get overwhelmed by the challenges, or we look at our families, and there's that husband who's still not a Christian, and there's my son or my daughter, and they're still not Christians, and I'm going to work tomorrow, and I've prayed for these people, and they're still not Christians. It's not good enough that we look at this and say, I've got a problem here. I'm not believing enough. I'm not trusting enough. I'm not hoping enough. It's my fault because I'm not having enough faith. Now, that's not how it works. And I really hope that we see it, because either we end up discouraging ourselves even further, or we end up discouraging one another. So when did you last have someone die and they weren't Christians? For me, it was last year. Do you then say, well, if I'd had more faith to believe that God would have worked, then he might have worked? Or when did you last look at yourself and under a testing, you fell apart, you lost your temper, you shouted at somebody, you completely lost all your peace because you were under some pressure? And then you say, oh, I should have had faith. Why didn't I have more faith in that moment? This is not how faith works. And unless we understand what faith is, how are we going to avail ourselves of the grace of God? So let's come to a positive definition then. What is faith? Look at it at the end of verse 8. Faith is the gift, or it's a better word. Perhaps you'll think it's exactly the same. But a better word is a present, a gift given by God to his people. And what's important, if you look at verses 8, 9, and 10, the idea is we are, it's continuous. God gives and continues to give. It's his gift given to his people. Verse 10, I think, makes it clear. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared. Do you know, everything is of God. That's what verse 10 is saying. I am of God in his workmanship. What I do is of God, prepared beforehand. Everything is of God. And even faith is of God. It's his continuous gift given to his people. So I want to say two things about the way faith works. First of all, faith is a matter of knowledge. Now, it's really important that we understand that. The more you know, the more you understand, the more you know the Word of God, the more you understand its truth, then the more faith, if you like, will be true of you. So faith is intimately linked to knowledge. And so you'll see it throughout the New Testament. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is knowledge of a person, Jesus Christ. That's the essence of faith. So God gives me the ability to understand. He gives me the opportunities. He gives me his word. I have his spirit. We have the church. God is continuously encouraging us to know and to increase what we know and to add to what we know and to grow in what we know. And as you grow in what you know, faith grows. So this one element of faith is knowledge. We can't understand anything unless God teaches us. So anything that you know is God's gift to you. Any bit of knowledge, even the tiniest fraction of knowledge, is God's gift to you. And that knowledge is half, if you like, of faith. It is half of what faith consists in. So it's knowledge. And then what faith is, and perhaps in some ways, this is the key. Faith is a coming to God. Now, do you remember David quoted it in our prayer before the service? From Hebrews 4, where the preacher says, "Come before the throne of grace with boldness, that you may find grace to help you in your time of need." And that's the other half of faith. Faith is a coming to God. And that coming to God can be an unexpressed prayer. It can be a lifting up of your heart. It can be the bending of your knees. It can be by the side of your bed. It can be in a church. It is that drawing of your soul to God as you are, wherever you are, in whichever situation you're in, whether you're in a trial, whether you're in a pulpit, whether you're in a congregation, whether you're at home, at work, in that real concrete situation, you know your need of God. You know that God welcomes you. He extends an invitation to you. He is listening to you. He is aware of you. He loves you. He's able to strengthen you. You know these things. And knowing them, in that moment, you lift your heart to God. You don't have to try to be something. It's not lifting your heart and saying, "God, I'm trusting in you, even though," and you say, "I'm falling apart." You don't come screwing yourself up into a moment of high frenzy. As you are, where you are, feeling exactly as you do, if everything falls apart around you, and you are falling apart yourself, as you are, you turn to God, and you do so knowing that He is the God who receives you, and welcomes you, and loves you, and will strengthen you. And it's coming as we are, in whatever moment we find ourselves be. That's how we experience the grace of God. Whether it's in a trial, whether it's persevering, coming to God in that way leads to the experience of sufficient grace, of abundant grace. So let's take those two ideas then. God's grace is sufficient. That doesn't mean we come to God with a brave face and we come to God and say, "God, I don't feel worried, I don't feel anxious, I don't feel sad, I don't feel under pressure." It's coming to God as you are. Just like that son, do you remember him, the prodigal son? Covered in dirt, spent out, friendless, without excuses, without false promises, coming just as you are. And that's how you will know his grace. Persevering, in the church. It's no good pretending. This is the situation we're in. These are very real worries. As we are, with our hearts open to God, coming to Him, to that throne of grace, and you will receive the grace and the help that you stand in need of. Now, I really do hope. It's very hard, really, I think, to change the habits of a lifetime. And many of you I've had conversations with at your darkest moments. And so many of you have said, in that darkest of times, I'm trying to trust. And I'm trying to have faith. And for me, those have been moments when I felt some heartbreak of my own. Because I haven't wanted to say to you, look, it's fine to fall apart. It's fine to break your heart. It's okay to completely unravel in this situation. Because it is. It's fine. It's appropriate. It's understandable. Because your heart is broken. It's okay. Don't put that pressure on yourself to now, in this darkest moment, try and generate some faith. In this darkest moment, two things. What do you know about God? What have you learned? In your darkest moments, you have learned that there is someone just like you, the Son of God, who has also known darkest moments. So what you know is that God understands. What you know is that Christ has sympathy for you. He's been there himself. So what do you know? That's what I want you to take from here. When the church is tough, people are a disappointment, and life is hard, what do you know? What do you know about God? And then with that firmly in your grasp, the second, come to God, just as you are. Turn to Him. Lift your heart to Him. Look to Him. And you will know whether it's abounding grace or sufficient grace or persevering grace. You will know that grace given by God, a God of grace, through His Son, Jesus Christ.